Mr. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Jason. I'm doing okay.
Did you take a puck in the head?
I wish I could say I took a puck in the head. A little more embarrassing than that. You know, I got a 90-pound dog here who just happened to be lying at my feet while I was making the kids breakfast this morning, and I turned right, he stood up, I went face first into the kitchen table. So, there's a windshield in front of my eyes right now. Let's put it that way, and it's a little foggy.
Yikes! What kind of dog?
A 90-pound retriever. I woke up sort of him licking my face and my kids screaming, so it was a weird morning.
Oh, gee, were you leaking all over?
There wasn't too much of that, but I think the loss of consciousness might have thrown them off a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
It was a good one.
Yeah, nice. Well, next time you'll have to get Mom to teach your kids. If Dad does that again, just smack him across the face a few times. He'll probably love that.
Mom's not here to give them any lessons these days, so they were a little freaking out that home alone with Dad, and here he is. Face first on the kitchen floor. I don't know if my head hurts more or my pride at this point. So I don't know why I'm actually telling you all this. Maybe I am concussed.
Oh, man. Your wife probably had a good chuckle over that. Let's not kid about that. Now, a few teams face planted into the basement of the standings this year, similar to and then woke up with looking up at the standings and realizing their season was over. So now we're going to focus on the 16 that got into the postseason, Kevin. And which goaltending matchup, let's start there, not teams, which goaltending matchup intrigues you the most in the first round?
There's a lot of good ones. So there's the hesitation. The two that probably intrigue me the most, I'd have to say, are Crawford with the Blackhawks, in part because I'm curious to see where he's at coming off a reported head injury against Brian Elliott and the St. Louis Blues. Hitchcock saying today that they're going to go with Elliott. We've talked about it several times over the last month that, hey, it's time to give this guy a shot and see if what he's been able to do in the regular season can translate in the postseason. I know he stubbed his toe a couple times in the playoffs before, but that's a couple of years ago since he's been given a chance. They bring in Ryan Miller. Last year when it was supposed to be his job, they went with Jake Allen getting hot late. It's been a few years, and he is such a worker and pro in terms of the way he's always kind of trying to evolve his game and get better. And you see the results in terms of best save percentage in the NHL heading into the postseason overall. And you just want to see if they translate. And I think he's earned that. I think if you're the Blues, you're smart to give him that shot because you can still go back to Jake Allen later. He can still be your guy of the future. But you need to see if Brian Elliott can do this, if you don't, cut his legs out from under him like you have the last couple of seasons. And so head-to-head against the Blackhawks, a team that a tough first-round matchup. But also, I look at the characteristics for Elliott. I mean, the one thing he doesn't do that Jake Allen does is handle the puck well. He freezes a lot of them. So what does that do? It creates a lot of face-offs in your zone, and you're going up face-offs against the Taves of the world. So yeah, it's a tough matchup for the Blues, a tough matchup for any team right off the hop to get the defending champions. But I guess if Brian Elliott's going to prove it, now's as good a time as any, and why not start with the best?
Kevin Woodley joins us. Kevin, Dallas, a lot of people had questions about their goaltending and really their defense. And, they've really silenced the critics. So when you look at the standings in how they play, when you look at their goaltending situation, who do you go with? And is there a better matchup from a goalie to a certain team? Do we ever look at that? Have you ever dove into that to think that maybe a goalie matches up better against a certain team?
You know, I think there are certainly cases. To be perfectly honest, in my preview, I'm not quite to the Stars and the Minnesota Wild in terms of breaking down all the little tendencies, and that will be something I look at. The way a team attacks, does it happen to fit or go against the strengths of one goaltender versus the other? And Lettinen and Niemi have different strengths. The way that Minnesota attacks, are they a team that attacks a lot along the goal line? Do they run their power play from below the net? Or is it strictly through the points? Those are tendencies you can identify in how teams attack and plan your goaltending as a result. And there is a bit of a different look to those two. And personally, I've always said this. I know he stubbed his toe for the last couple of seasons after being, frankly, tremendous and their only chance to win for several years before that. But from a skill set standpoint, it's Kari Lettinen for me. But he hasn't gotten it done in the playoffs, and he hasn't even gotten them to the playoffs at times. So I understand there probably be a short leash there. And, you know, as a matter of fact, going in, you don't know which guy's starting. You would hope, and knowing Jeff Reese and how much he breaks it down, I would think he would give them that equation. Hey, Minnesota does this, it might suit Kari's game more, or it might suit Antti Niemi's game more. There's times where a certain goaltender just feels good or plays well in certain buildings. Again, I haven't looked at the splits for Lettinen and Niemi, but to answer your question without specifics, for sure you look at those things, and they factor into, they ultimately factor into your decision. The good news is, if it doesn't work, you have an option B in Dallas, but yeah, still to me, despite where they finished in the standings, question marks for sure about their back end and the type of chances they give up and the pressure that puts on their goaltenders.
Well, you look at it, and, you know, Niemi had, I think they both had 25 wins, if I'm not mistaken, this season. So it's pretty even. Their numbers are like 905 and 906 save percentage. Almost not much separating the two of them. And really, if you're the coach and you've kind of rotated it, because I think Niemi started 43 games, Lettinen started 39, so you can't get much closer than that. Really, unless there's one guy that's clear-cut, I could easily see Dallas rotating their goalies.
Yeah, and it's only ever been done successfully once, and that was the American Hockey League. It was years ago. It was, I'm trying to remember who it was. Obviously not a good day for me in memory right now, but it was Robbie Fatorik was the coach. I think it might have been the New Jersey Devils system. Corey Schwab and a veteran whose name is escaping me right now literally went back and forth on a game-in, game-out basis. Not a couple here and a couple there. Every second game back and forth between the two all season, right through the playoffs, won a Calder Cup championship, and Mike Dunham was the other goaltender, and talked about how, hey, listen, if we got two guys and you both want to play, everyone wants to play every game, but if that's not going to happen, by going back and forth, you establish a rhythm for each guy. Yeah, it's not an every game rhythm, but it's an every second night rhythm. So nobody gets rusty. Nobody kind of loses that timing, that feel for the game for very long. And the Sharks are the last team to do it in the regular season with Nabokov and Toskala. They got through almost March before Toskala got hurt and Nabokov took over. But that was going to be the test case for me in the NHL. Would they continue it into the playoffs, or would Ron Wilson go away from it? I don't know that we're going to see that. I think that you're going to see a team try and get one guy hot early in the Stars and see if they can ride him. But it, like I said earlier, I don't think there'll be a long leash there if there are any signs of struggles.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, the goaltending situation in Pittsburgh right now, that's the story to watch as far as goaltending into the postseason, because if Murray isn't ready to go, and neither is Fleury, they could be in a big world of trouble.
Well, Fleury on the ice today, so or at least that was the report when I headed into the Canucks kind of year-end breakup myself to cover that. So that's a good sign, and much like Crawford, that's another series that I have a close eye on to see, how Marc-Andre Fleury looks. Did he get, we talked recently about treatment. Did he get treatment? Is he better? Or is he just kind of, has adjusted to sort of a new normal and a lower normal? And it tends to show up pretty quickly when it comes to goaltenders. You can't play this position if you can't track and focus and kind of lock in on different things happening. Often at speed, all over the place in front of you, and keep track of those things. And it usually shows up pretty early. But if he is on, that's another matchup that I like. I mean, Lundqvist is one of the best, if not the best, over the past 10 years. But Marc-Andre Fleury has made major strides in his game over the past couple of seasons. All the things that used to plague him in the playoffs, and these are things that I talked about at the time when everyone was talking about moving on from Fleury in Pittsburgh, was, I didn't get the sense he had ever really been given positional staples in his game. And so anytime he struggled, he would start chasing and he would get hyper-aggressive. And the more aggressive he got, the worse things got for him, because he was so fast, he was able to recover that space. But he ended up scrambling and putting himself, outside the post. You remember goals against the Islanders series a few years ago, pucks are going in off his butt from below the goal line. Well, and everyone, kind of wondered how this could happen. Well, if you put yourself in a position outside of your posts all the time where guys can bank shots off you, That's how it happens. And nobody had ever kind of given him a system, a guideline, staples, so that when he does struggle, he goes back to that. He doesn't just start getting hyper-aggressive, hoping it hits him the closer he gets to the shooter. And since he's added that with their new goaltending coach, Mike Bales, he's been a different goaltender. And, you know, I'm really kind of looking forward to see if he's had a great season there. And if he is feeling good, can he go toe-to-toe with the King? Can he get the Penguins past an opponent that has kind of owned them over the past couple of playoff seasons?
A few other ones looking closer to home in the Western Conference. You've got the Nashville Predators taking on the Anaheim Ducks. The Ducks have been outstanding since a very slow start to the season. The Predators have really come on of late. They've got way more scoring than they've had in the past. How do you like that goaltending matchup?
Well, that'll be interesting. We've talked about Pekka Rinne and the inconsistencies of his season. And so I don't think if you're Nashville, you can feel 100% going to this series like you know what you're going to get from Pekka Rinne. And until we see how it starts, those questions are going to be there. With the Ducks, it looks like they're going to go with John Gibson. Another goaltender coming back off a head injury in Frederik Andersen. I know it was the B lineup and all the stars were sitting for Washington, but still some tough chances for him in a shutout. I thought he looked really good, and that's a good sign again for a goaltender coming off a head injury in the season finale on Sunday, but not enough to change Bruce Boudreau's mind. And when I break down the styles of the two, there may be a little more upside in Gibson, but given how that team's built and how good they are around their goaltender, I'm going to lean towards the more consistent guy. If it was me, I would be starting Frederik Andersen. I think he's got more structure, better structure to his game. He's solved to an extent what went wrong last year. I've seen it written that he couldn't handle it mentally in the Western Conference Finals against Chicago. There was a very clear problem in his game that developed during that series. He just stopped tracking the puck and wasn't able to kind of identify the key to that. He worked this summer to figure out what it was that went missing and how to get it back quicker. And I think he's brought that throughout this season. He's the guy I would be going with. I guess the good news is if you're a Ducks fan and Boudreau's not starting him, that means there's a good chance you are going to see him sooner rather than later. Because if there is one coach who jumps back and forth amongst his goaltenders and can't seem to make up his mind, even more so than Ken Hitchcock, it's Bruce Boudreau, whether it was in Washington or now with Anaheim. So the bad news is I don't think they're starting the right guy. The good news is the MO of this coach says he'll be in net soon enough.
You don't think they're starting the right guy? How come?
I think Andersen is the guy. I know Gibson has the upside, but at this time of year, there are inconsistencies in his positioning and the way he plays that they're just easier to target for an opponent. I just think Freddie plays a more balanced game. And again, not quite the athletic flash that Gibson has. So the potential for the highlight reel save, and those can be momentum changers, not just in a game but in a series. I understand that. But I'm going to take the guy who is more consistent, and I believe that is Freddie Andersen. I believe there are less highs and lows in his style of play than there are in Gibson. And I think that team is good enough to win just on the highs and lows. That they don't need the hot hand. They don't need Gibson on a hot streak. They're good enough to win with Freddie Andersen being consistent. And when you go with Gibson, you run the risks of the other end of that highs and lows and running into one of the cold streaks.
One last one for you, Kevin. We got a few text messages coming in. Is there anywhere that coaches can go for goalie training? Not for players, but for coaches.
And you mean like a head coach? Not to become a goalie coach, more to just sort of be able to help your goalies
as a minor
hockey
coach? Yes, exactly. Because, in minor hockey, there's not goalie coaches on most teams.
Well, no, but there is a program that Hockey Canada has started, and a little behind the times on it, but it is underway. I don't know the specifics of what it's called, but basically it's a level one goalie coaching program. That it's not designed to turn you into an NHL goalie coach. It's designed to give you the basics so that you can go out with your minor hockey team, whether you're the head coach or a parent volunteer that just is tired of seeing your goaltending child basically being an afterthought in practices and not getting any attention, and set up some drills, set up some structure, know what to look for in those drills, know what to look for in the skills and practice habits so that you can help a new goaltender get better during the season. To me, it's one of the biggest weaknesses we have in Canada. Fantastic goaltending coaches in Canada, and most of them operate in the summer, and that's when the students see them. So instead of playing other sports, they're all going to private schools instead of getting a lot of that coaching in the winter when they're actually on the ice and then going off like they do in Sweden and Finland, where they take the ice out in the summer and the kids go and play other sports and develop physical literacy. Kids in Canada, that's when they get their best coaching. So I think it's a little bit reversed here. And this program is designed to, it doesn't quite fix that, but it is designed to allow parents, minor hockey coaches, volunteers to develop the skills to better help young goaltenders in the minor hockey system. And that's what the Swedes and the Finns have done. It's not that they built great goaltenders. Their focus was on building better goaltending coaches, and the goalies would follow. And Hockey Canada's just got a Level 1 certification that's out now. I'm not sure when Level 2 hits, but that's where I would go if you're looking to learn those skills and be able to help a young goalie in this country.
Well, that's great. Hopefully they come up with something for skill development, because there's been such an emphasis on goaltending, which is great. I don't think there's as much one-on-one emphasis on skills and scoring for players.
Hey, we've had this discussion at the NHL level, and it doesn't surprise me to hear that that's crept down to the minor league level. Just, you know, we saw the quote from Gretzky recently about just, you know, throwing the puck on the ice and developing that natural skill. It can be coached too. There are other things beyond winning and systems and making sure guys are in their lanes at the age of 10. And you know, whether it's goaltending or players, I think we're hearing arguments from all kinds of people that we're falling short in those regards.